HTK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
My campaign slogan is, let's make America fun again. Come on now.
Yeah,
it's
baby.
November 12th, show number 70. It's Veterans Day weekend, a few days after the biggest election of my life. And wouldn't you know it, the controversial underdog entrepreneur, he pulled out a victory. Wouldn't you know it?
He did.
But let's start with a salute to the brave men and women that fight to make entrepreneurship possible, to those who sacrifice for our rights and the freedom to dream, and for the right to choose our country's commander-in-chief. Yeah, things worth fighting for, huh, Marcus?
Absolutely.
Tom, how you guys doing?
Thank you, Marcus, for your service, my man.
Yes. I appreciate you guys very much. Yeah, happy Veterans Day to all my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I mean, the election is over. Armchair veterans, take a seat. This is not a political show. Let's move on. And happy Veterans Day, Marcus. Yeah, we appreciate your service, buddy. Now, we've been doing this show for 70 weeks.
Man.
And today is going to be, we're going to have as impactful of guests today as we've ever had. What's the most impactful show we've had so far, Marcus? We've had some big time guests.
We have.
I'm going to go with my man Chris Johnson.
He did a great job.
Yeah, he's so inspiring and always pushing entrepreneurs to take that one step towards chasing their goals. I mean, I think he said something along the lines of the most of profitable place in the world, the land in the world, is the graveyard, because all the people's thoughts that they never accomplished are lying there on the ground.
They never take a risk.
Chris Johnson the Rapid Ramen
Guy?
That guy's awesome. I'm going to go with Dale Carlson, the guy from the Spin Train.
Yeah.
The way he worked out a very interesting scenario to give the opportunity to his team to purchase and be owners of that Sleep Train mega corporation. I just think that he's a classy guy. He's community-driven all about doing the right thing, man. I love that guy.
No doubt.
And we also had Kevin Nagel, Uriah Faber. We've had a lot of the icons around the area. But, I mean, this week, on Monday, I'm going to be at the Global Impact event at Golden One. So I'm going to go with Jack Crawford, right? He's kind of that voice of the entrepreneur here in our community. And, you know, he's bringing capital into the region to help ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our town.
So cool.
So, Jack, I look forward to seeing you. We're at the Global Impact event at Golden One on Monday. I'm going to be handling the mic a little bit. Jack's going to trust me with the microphone at Golden One.
Uh-oh.
Be interviewing some of the top venture capital guys in the Bay Area. Some of the corporate-backed VCs are going to be there. If you're an entrepreneur, you might want to go out to Golden One on Monday and hang out with us a little bit. It should be fun. And I think we're inspiring a movement. And I think that can be impactful.
So can needing a lot of brand.
Yeah, you know, Tom, you're always good for a little comic relief. But the funniest thing that happened over after the election, right? Everybody kind of stayed up and watched the election the other day, and then we were in Hawaii. We just got back from Hawaii, and we were there with my grandson the next day after the election, and it was funny because Obama and Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden is standing alongside Obama for a press conference after the day after the election, and my grandson looks at Joe Biden and he says, "Oh, Papa, Donald Trump got a haircut." And I was like, that's a way to lighten it up, Rocco. I appreciate it. Later in the show, you will meet some people who are having a tremendous impact on this region. My friend Uriah Faber is coming on the show, and he will be bringing on the hottest female UFC fighter on the planet, Paige VanZant. We will talk business and discuss their upcoming fights at the Golden One Arena. You may want to switch over to Facebook Live, my friends. But after the break, get ready for a very rare opportunity. This is the reason why we started Entrepreneurs Unlimited. We're about to start talking to the entrepreneurial icon, a man who has helped shape this region like no other, John L. Sullivan. He's built an automotive powerhouse, but he's so much more. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by the human resource experts, my friends at Silvers HR. Today, it is my special privilege to be joined by an icon. Mr. John L. Sullivan is here. How you doing, John?
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I appreciate you coming on. I mean, I've been looking forward to this day for a long time, and it is here.
Well, I'm honored.
Okay, so there may be one or two people out there, probably not too many, that don't know about your empire. Can you give us an overview of the John L. Sullivan scope of your businesses?
Well, we're in the car business and in the wholesale parts business, big time. We have seven entities, dealerships, and we employ probably right now we're adding another dealership, about 850 people.
Wow, wow. Now that that sounds like a full-time job, John.
Well, it is, and it started out that way, and it hasn't changed a bit.
All right, okay, but now I have to say, you know, I've been wanting to have you on the show for a long time, and I grew up in Roseville. You launched your empire out of Roseville, and so, you know, I we're going to take a little trip down memory lane, I think. But before we get into that, when Marcus and I walked into your dealership the other day, the Roseville Toyota, to kind of talk to you about the show, I was amazed at the warmth that not only you showed, but you had just come back from visiting one of your teammates who was out with a stroke, and you were out there seeing how she was doing.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, the human touch of your business, even with 850 employees, it still kind of felt small in a way.
Well, it I'm glad you recognize that because. Yes, this lady that she was an office manager in the Dodge store up in Yuba City, and she did have a stroke. And my CFO and I went out to visit her and find out how she was doing. And thank God she's doing very, very well. But that's what it takes to build a team, is to have that compassion and that feeling for those people that not work for you but work with you, and that's. That's what this is all about. That's what my business is all about. It's not so much getting that customer to buy the car as it is getting that employee to realize the advantage of that customer coming back to us.
Yeah, yeah, that compounding effect of doing the right thing.
Right, yeah, absolutely. You know, in this business, retention is probably the biggest growth factor that you could possibly have. And we sit down every other week with all of the employees, and we have a roundtable discussion, and we talk about how we can better build our organization, how we can better treat our customers, and how we can get that customer coming back second, third, and fourth time.
Yeah, and okay, you have that warmth side, but I mean, is there a certain key that that gets these guys coming back? Because the atmosphere in there is great. You got the restaurant inside the Roseville Toyota, but each of your locations they really pop. But how do you do that from a customer service standpoint? How do you handle that?
You have to sit down with the people that work with you in the organization, and it's not just your ideas. It's a composite of everybody's ideas, how they want to be treated when they go to buy something, when they go in for service. So it's that one-on-one treatment that that makes us successful, I think, over and above many of the other dealers.
Yeah, and creating that culture is never easy. And I think back to the story you told us when you first bought Ernie Cadell's dealership in the 70s, it wasn't quite like that at the beginning. Can you tell what happened when you first bought the dealership?
Well, that's an interesting story. First of all, Ernie Cadell was probably one of the nicest, the most gentle people that I've ever met in my life. He's a great, great man. And he was quite a sports figure, as you well know. He was a Stanford Hall of Fame running back.
You bet.
He was voted into the Senate. In fact, Jesse Enrue voted him into the Hall of Fame, state Senate. He went on to be a Detroit Lions running back and went to work for GM in the off season back there. And then they shipped him out to California, and he ended up with a franchise in Roseville.
Yeah, he did football camp up at Sierra College when we went to football camp as high school guys.
That's
right. I knew
him
from that. And doing deliveries at my dad's TV shop, I'd deliver to the Cadells.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that was a long time
ago. Yeah, yeah.
But Ernie was that, and he was that kind of a guy. You know, he held camps and what have you, and he was just a wonderful person. And he and I got together, and I worked for Ernie for a while as a salesman when I started. I came to Roseville. My dad was in the car business in Southern California, and he retired when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. And then I went in the service, got out of the service, and I thought, well, I'd get in the car business like my dad. And he had retired and moved up to Roseville. And the reason he moved to Roseville is he wanted to be close to the fishing and the hunting. And so I came to visit him after I I was on the road with an advertising company, and after I got out of the service, and came to visit him. I was going to stay maybe two weeks in Roseville and visit my dad and do a little fishing and hunting. And he said, why don't you stick around for a while? And I said, Dad, Roseville was only 12,000 people then. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do in Roseville, right? He said, well, stick around. We'll do some hunting and fishing. And I said, well, I've got to do something. He said, well, why don't you sell cars? And I said, for who? And he said, well, try the Chevrolet dealership.
Aha.
So I did, and I went to sell cars for Ernie. And then down the road, I ended up buying into it and then bought him out.
And then after you bought him out, I know that you had an office manager quit. And then what happened at that point when you started to have it? After you bought him out, it wasn't easy.
No, when I the day that I signed the documents and went in, I told everybody, I said, this is where we're at and this is where we're going, okay? And I need all of you, and I want you to jump on board with me, and because we've got a big job ahead of us. Well, the office manager, who was about ready to retire anyway, so she retired, and now I'm sitting there with no office manager.
Oh.
And then walked out in the shop, and I had a body shop at that time. The body shop manager was I had to get rid of him because he was causing too many problems. So the first day that I started in this business, or within the first day I owned the dealership, I don't have a office manager. I don't have a shop foreman. I don't have a body shop foreman, I had a little. I had a thing with the previous Ernie's partner. He tolerated a little bit more than I wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as
sales guys, sort of walking across the street and having a
sip
cocktail,
of drink, yeah, in the morning. So I put a stop to that. Well, there was. I think I had like six or eight salesmen at that time, and I ended up letting three or four of them going. You know, so now I'm sitting, and I've got half my sales force, don't have an office manager, don't have a service manager, don't have a shop foreman, and that's the way it started.
Yeah, and there was one guy that was doing warranty claims, I think, and he was a baseball coach of mine and my partner Bob's. And somehow you noticed him. Yeah, you noticed him.
Yeah.
He became something very special for the organization.
My CFO, yeah. He was out in the service department, and he was closing out repair orders. And Ken Burdick, wonderful guy. He just died here about 3 weeks ago. But wonderful. He was a good car man, but he was a wonderful individual. And he's sitting behind this counter closing out repair orders. And I hadn't really had a lot to do with Ken, but I walked by and I saw him. He was behind this glass counter, and I stopped, and I went back, and it was maybe a half hour before that my office manager quit. So I walked in, and I said, Ken, I said, have you ever had any accounting experience? And he said, no. I said, well, do me a favor. Go up and enroll in Sierra College and take an accounting class because you're now my office manager.
Oh, wow.
And I turned around, walked away, and he just about fell off the chair.
Wow. Okay, this is a story of John L. Sullivan, the icon in the automotive business from right here in Roseville. And we've been sharing a little bit of stories down memory lane. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit more about the history of his organization and a little bit about where he developed these philosophies of how to win. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live. Excuse me, on Facebook Live. And we will be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by the Human Resource Experts, my friends at Silvers HR. I'm Mark Haney, and today we are continuing the conversation with John L. Sullivan. And really, this show is to inspire entrepreneurs. So if you're not inspired after sitting here listening to John L. Sullivan. I don't think you're human because, I mean, we're taking a guy that he comes into a business several years ago and as a car salesman, and now you've got this empire. Great story, John. Great story. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, so you came in, you had all these setbacks at the beginning, and obviously things have turned. What was the key to turning things around?
Well, you know, when I sold cars in Sacramento for a little while before I joined Ernie Cadell, and then when I left Ernie shortly and then tried something else and came back, and Ernie got me back into the fold, and he said, I want you to stay with me, and I'll make it available. I'll make you a partnership available to you. And I said, okay, that's fine. Well, when in being in the car business and selling cars in Sacramento for the short period of time that I did, I met some good car people, some real good car people. So when I bought the dealership, I called a couple of those friends of mine, and one of them that I called, his name was Lee Hockett. He was a great guy. He was a general sales manager for Senator Ford, and which was the big car store in those days. So I called him up, and he came up. I just bought the store, and he came up to have lunch with me. And I was sitting in at this little tavern there in Roseville, and I was sitting at the bar waiting for him. He came in, and
what's the tavern's name? You remember?
Grouchy's.
Oh yeah, Grouchy's. That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, on Taylor Road.
Yes.
And he walks up. He sits down next to me, and he says, he looks at me, and he said, "You didn't want to buy my lunch, did you?" And I said, "Not really, Lee." I said, "But I tell you what, I will do." I said, "I'll give you a job." And he laughed, and he said, "John, you can't afford me." And we talked a little bit. Long story short, his price was pretty steep, but I hired him and gave him a year's contract and gave him pretty much what he wanted. And when he started walking out the door, I said, "Lee," I said, "one other thing." I said, "I just let go about four of my salesmen. So I said, if you're going to come with me on Monday," I said, "bring five of your best salesmen." Now, with that kind of thing, I mean, that's what really got us going. I mean, those kind of moves.
It's amazing how a move like that, one lunch, one meeting over at Grouchy's, can change the trajectory of a would-be empire, an empire in the making. It's like that. Sometimes it's those little things. It's like, should I pick up the phone and call that guy? And then you do it, and look what happens.
That's right. Just the little things.
Yeah.
And then when he came aboard, he brought some of his expertise with him, and a good array of salesmen. And we were selling at the time probably 50, 60 cars a month. In fact, when I went in to pay Ernie the money for the stock, there was a retired Buick dealer that was walking out of the showroom, George Erb, great guy. And I had known him for a little while, being in Roseville. And he put his hand to my chest, and he said, "John," he said, "you're on your way in to buy the stock in the store here?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is that the check in your top pocket?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm your friend." And I said, "Yes, you are, George." He said, "So as your friend, I'm going to tell you, keep the check in your pocket. Go back to your bank. Deposit in your bank." And he said, "Forget this whole thing because this is not going to work for you." He said, "This is not a good investment." And I said, "Thank you, George." Walked around him. I said, "I appreciate it." Walked in and gave Mr. Cadell the money. So, you know,
so this is not a good investment. It looks like you proved him wrong, I think.
Well, in the first 90 days, we took that 60 to 100. The next 90 days, we took it to 150, and then we went to 425 a month.
How many do you guys sell a month now?
Well, the Toyota store sells well over 1,000.
A month?
Yeah.
That's just one facility.
That's one facility, yeah. 1,200.
You got like seven of them.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You probably had a few doubters in your time, but and what would you say to those doubters now?
Well, it's interesting that you say that to me. Doubters, you know, I did have some doubters. But one thing I never doubted myself, I never doubted what we could do. I never doubted the people that was with me that and what they were capable of doing. And, you know, this is and so many times I look back and I say to myself, you know, this wasn't John Sullivan's doing. This was an array of people I put together. Like a team, much like a sports team, and we're all projected to do one thing, and that was make that goal.
Well, you've got Ruggles is your right-hand guy on the finance side now.
CFO.
And you got Dave Rogers, guy I went to high school with. He's a right-hand man on the sales side, GM, VP.
Yeah.
I mean, who are the key players that launched your success? Is there one or two, or
I would like to say that. I would like to say Dave Rogers is one, and Steve Ruggles is another. And, of course, this Ken Burdick, you know, I told you about, mm-hmm. He was one. Lee Hockett was the other, and I had a really good sales force, though, an excellent sales force. But when we would sit down at meetings, at sales meetings, every week, every Friday morning, we'd sit down, and first of all, the managers would get together, and we would decide how we were going to hold a meeting that morning, what we're going to talk about, the topics. But the big thing was always, what do you think collectively,
mm-hmm.
not just one person, what do you like? What would you like to see? What would you like to have done? And what are we going to do today to make it work? And it was always a collective idea. It was never just one person. And I think that's very important for any entrepreneur today.
Yeah.
That it's just, you've got to get a collage of ideas and concepts before you can step out and throw your weight behind it, because it's going to take a lot more than just yourself, that's
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, nobody does it alone. What would you say to those guys that stood by you through these times and through these growth and kind of helped you really to make the impact that you're making?
Oh, I'm in contact with them all the time,
yeah.
Even today, even after they've retired. You know, they're my team. They're still my team. I've got a lot of respect for these people, and hopefully they have a lot of respect for me too. And it's just not the employee team. It's how you reach out to the community itself. You know, we do a lot of charity work. We do it. You know, my employees and myself, we will raise this year probably $200,000 to $225,000 for charity, and half of that is raised by my employees individually and collectively. They hold bake sales. They do all of these things to collect money and for charity and raffles and what have you. And then at the end of the year, whatever they raise, I'll match it.
Yeah.
And so this year we'll raise. We just had a golf tournament, first John L. Sullivan.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. We had. It was a big success. We raised about $60,000 for Vincent St. Paul charity.
Oh yeah.
And but we do have an organization that cares, and I think the public knows that.
Yeah.
And that, I think that brings us a lot of.
You know, when I was in your, you talked about the way the employees feel about you a little bit, or how you feel about your employees, and just that relationship that you guys have. I sensed that when I was over there the other day. Christy, your PR person, someone that I went to high school with, and I could just feel the warmth of the team and the respect and the admiration that they had for you. But I think what really stood out to me is we're standing there in your showroom as you're showing us around. And there was a customer waiting patiently to talk to you. It was someone that had bought a few cars from you and had been touched by some things that you had done in the community. And they just wanted to shake your hand and say, thank you for what you do, John L. Sullivan, for our community. And that was really, as Marcus and I watched that, we were like, wow.
Isn't that great?
Ah, it was so awesome.
I'm so taken by that. And it happens all the time. And again, like I said, It's not so much what I did, but my employees did to make that person come back, and I'm taken back by that all the time. It's just a wonderful.
The compounding effect of doing the right thing since 1970 something, and right. To 40 years later, it's like wow, yeah. An empire. Just one last question as we kind of I looked at we were in your office and I said. So what about today? What drives you? You know, you could be doing anything you want. What drives you today? And, you know, what's the future look like for John L. Sullivan? You pointed to the wall, and you have all these awards for customer service and for sales growth, and you said, a little more of that, a little more success.
That's right. That's right. And that's what drives me. I like being number one. We are number one, and I want to continue to do that. That's quite a, when you get that... when you get that trophy in your hand for being in that position, and that's really a great, great feeling, and it's an accomplishment that you just can't put down.
It's about winning, ladies and gentlemen. John L. Sullivan motivating us to chase our entrepreneurial dreams. When we come back, we're going to meet local MMA superstars Uriah Faber and Paige VanZant. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHTK and streaming live podcast and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by the human resource experts, my friends at Silvers HR. And today, it is my privilege to be joined by Paige VanZant, and Uriah Faber is in the house. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to have you guys. Uriah, how are you, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm pretty good. Just woke up.
Did you stay out too late last night?
No, I just stayed up too late watching movies.
Oh, how about you, Paige? How are you doing this morning?
Good.
I heard you may have overslept, too, a little bit, huh?
I did oversleep. You know, our practice starts at 9:30, so I just function off of that.
You know, 9:30 in the morning, right?
Yeah, so but I live like a mile from the gym, so I roll out of bed 9:15, make it on the mat by 9:30.
Now, I have met you before, but I don't know you very well. So Uriah, I'm gonna dive into find out a little bit about Paige here. Now you have an upcoming fight.
I do.
Can you give us an overview of what's going on with the fight?
Yeah, of course. December 30th, we're fighting. Me and Uriah will both be on the card here in Sacramento.
It's December 30th?
Oh. December 17th.
There you go.
I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay, December 17th.
You better fast track that preparation.
My coffee hasn't kicked in. Okay, December 17th, we're fighting here in Sacramento.
Right.
It's going to be at the Golden One Center, which is really exciting.
Awesome.
This is a great fight.
And you are like the main event, right?
I am, yeah. I get to be the main event.
What's that like, being the main attraction?
It's
awesome. Are you used to that? Or?
This will be my second main event.
Wow.
The first one was actually just a fight pass card. So this is the first one on Fox where I get to be the headliner. So it's very, very exciting, especially that I get to do it in front of my hometown crowd. I get to do it in front of Sacramento.
And Uriah, what do you think about that? She's got the main event. You're going to be fighting as well. I mean, this could be a big night.
Yeah, it's going to be massive. And we've got two other guys from our team fighting. And, you know, it's pretty awesome. Paige has been blowing up worldwide for a bunch of different reasons. One of them being that she's a bad woman.
But,
you know, but she can dance. She can do all sorts of cool stuff.
But she's the hottest female attraction in UFC. Am I right?
No doubt. And we're getting a first look at her right here in the new octagon in the new arena. So I'm pumped for that.
It's gonna be fun. Now, Paige, what's it? Okay, UFC as a female, you're not what one might expect in terms of being a fighter. You know, you look like the girl next door, but just the girl next door who's a bad woman, according to Uriah. Now, what the business, this is an entrepreneurial show. Obviously, we're here to help promote the fight, but what's it like building your brand?
Yeah,
what's
that's
that about?
That's exactly what I'm trying to do now is build my brand, and especially I'm getting all these opportunities to do other things outside of fighting, which I feel is so important for me. And, you know, the fight fans love to see me fight, so they don't understand why I take the breaks to go over on Dancing with the Stars and pursue movie opportunities. But it's all about building a brand and trying to be just as successful as I can. So, you know, a fight career doesn't last forever.
So
I want to build up an industry.
So a dancer and a fighter. How do you contrast those two?
You know, actually, it was a smooth transition. I did dance for 13 years prior to becoming an MMA fighter, and I think that's what made it so easy for me to pick up fighting is I already had an athletic background. I already had a very disciplined technical background, and picking up MMA was something that I picked up quickly. I fell in love with it, the sport, and was able to make it a career.
And now, Uriah, you've seen the progression of Paige and building that brand. She's only 22, but, I mean, what have you seen in her progression?
Well, you know, from the get-go, and I met Paige, I think she was 19 when I first met Paige. She's always been really mindful of that, you know, understanding the importance of putting out there what she's all about. And her mom, she's really tight with her mom and her dad, who are pretty hands-on on helping to make sure. And her mom will, I'll see something go up and her mom will delete something off of Instagram. You know, she's real mindful of you know, being about that brand and being real, which is the most important thing, and so we're seeing we're seeing it take off. And as success comes, you know, she's making adjustments and getting better and better at it. And I mean, it's
she
definitely
fights for Team Alpha Male, one of your companies, right?
Yeah.
So how many companies do you have, by the way? I think you have more than I do.
I don't know. We've got a few these days. We have to go through them. You guys are rocking Torque right now.
No doubt. We always wear Torque.
I'm going to have to pull Paige out back from there to get the ladies on the stick with you guys.
Torque, one of Uriah's businesses, actually does clothing for wannabe athletes and real athletes, too. So do you have female Torque gear, too?
We do. I mean, more primarily male, but we do have some stuff. And we've actually started doing some really cool stuff. We actually started a signature line for Cody Garbrandt, No Love, we call him on our team.
Cody No Love,
fighting for the World Championship on December 30th. And, Eddie Alvarez is fighting tonight. We've got his custom shirt. Nick Diaz, we've got his Don't Be Scared Homie shirt. So we are building, helping other guys build brands as well, which is
awesome. I need some help building my brand too, right? We'll be talking.
I can see your face on a t-shirt.
We have a lot of Markisms on the show. One of them is hanging and banging. So are you hanging or banging? And you two are obviously, even though you just rolled out of bed, you're banging this morning, right? And you were thinking about getting a shirt, hanging or banging. So I may have to seek some advice.
That means like, are you just chilling? Relax, or are you actually trying to get stuff done?
Yeah, either one is cool, but I mean, if you're at the gym, you need to be banging,
Paige,
right?
What are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I've been known to punch a few people.
She's so sweet. She doesn't want to be edgy.
She's not going to say she's been banging.
So now, Paige, is there a signature? Okay, so you like to punch people. Do you have a signature move, one that's like, hey, this is unstoppable? Nobody stops the Paige bat. What?
No, I don't know if I had to have a signature yet. I finished all my fights with a different technique, I guess. I have like one KO, one TKO, one submission, and one decision in the UFC right now.
Which do you? Then the decision is not as fun as the.
That's not as exciting. No,
just making somebody submit. That sounds like it'd be the more fun place to be.
I mean, it is. They have to physically tap out, but I think knocking someone out is the most exciting.
Really?
Like that's the coolest thing to do is knock someone out.
Have you ever been injured or anything like that?
I've had a few minor injuries in the UFC. I've had my face cut open, a few like bruises. Actually, I was hurt way worse as a cheerleader than as a fighter. Yeah, I was hurt way worse as a cheerleader.
That's a dangerous sport, cheerleading.
Cheerleading, really?
Yeah, that's the number one major injuries is cheerleading.
Especially someone smaller like Paige, where they're probably, you're the one getting thrown up in the air really high.
Yeah, I was a flyer. And then I was a base. I was one of the stronger ones.
Oh, okay.
So I based a few times. I had people dropped on my face. So,
God.
Hurt way worse as a cheerleader.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you're at the beginning of your career, and there's a rumor going around, Uriah, that you may be toward the tail end. You're on the back nine right now. Where are you at in your career?
Yeah, this is actually going to be the last fight for me. I have You know, Mark, because we're in our group together.
We're an EO.
We're an EO
entrepreneur
together.
Organization.
So you get to hear all the stuff going on in my head. And, it's something I've thought about, and it just seems like the right time, especially, you know, being able to pass the torch to someone like Paige, who's been on our team and started from the humble beginnings and now the main event and just the new arena and just the timing, it just feels right for me.
Yeah, both of you guys are making an impact in different ways. I think, obviously, Uriah, you're the California kid. You brought MMA and UFC, I think, here to our region. But the female side is not as well known. So what kind of impact do you think you're making, Paige?
Yeah, I hope to make an impact, especially I'm hoping that after this, more girls from Sacramento will see that, you know, I'm fighting out of Sacramento. They can come train with us. Your eye's about to open his new gym. So hopefully we can get a new generation of more girls coming in. Right now we only have me and one other girl on Team Alpha Male. So
We
need more girls coming in.
Is she the right weight for you to roll around with, or do you wrestle with the guys?
No, she's perfect. I go with the guys.
Because you don't.
Well.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, pretty much.
The guys don't take it easy on you when they wrestle you, though, do they?
I mean, there's a balance between where they have to push us, and it depends. Some guys don't feel comfortable punching girls in the face until they get hit a few times. Then they're okay with it.
I will say, if you haven't watched, if anyone's listening and hasn't watched Paige fight, go look at her last fight. She did a jump kick, fake one way, come the other way, and kick this girl in the face. And 2 weeks prior to that, her and I were sparring, and she kicked me in the face with the same thing.
Oh, no. I hate it when that happens.
That was a little foreshadowing, for sure.
Now, how did you react to that? Well, I'm the coach. I'm at her,
No, Paige is...
Like, did you just kick me in the face?
I go, I think you just kicked me in the face. And she said, yeah, and started laughing like she's laughing this time.
That's awesome.
And then... lo and behold, she gets the job done with it. So it was pretty cool.
Go ahead, Paige.
Oh yeah, not everyone.
I didn't go out though.
Not everyone gets to kick Uriah in the face.
Yeah, Uriah, don't take that. Now, Uriah, as we kind of wrap today, just some kind of closing thoughts as you sort of transition into the next part of your career. Because I mean, those that don't know you, you are an entrepreneurial superstar. You're doing a lot of stuff. We talked about the clothing line. We've talked about your Team Alpha Male and all the different things with MMA. Paige is doing acting. I know you're doing acting and things like that. I mean, what are your thoughts as you sort of transition, I'm talking about my grand, as you transition out, what are you thinking at this point?
I've got a lot of different things that I'm working on. So we're working on our new gym at 6700 Folsom Boulevard. We're going to start pre-sales next week, and I'm actually have the opportunity to purchase that building, which is a big opportunity for me. I have been talking about doing some entertainment stuff. I'm pitching a show right now with the Always Sunny in Philadelphia guys, and some movie opportunities. But I'd like to also help produce, you know, maybe be on screen, but also be behind the scenes making things happen. I like that, the idea of that. But cool things that I'm involved in are the clothing line Torque. It's a lifestyle brand that I love and a lot of people love. Helping other guys build their brands with our management company like Paige. I have a little stake in some great businesses around town like Vibe Health Bar, which is on Broadway right now, but we're opening up a couple more locations. And Liquidology, we just joined forces with them. So
everybody wants a little piece of Uriah Faber. It's kind of amazing. People know you for your MMA, and you've got some incredible brand recognition, but you've got a business mind as well, and people are attracted to that. And you're such a humble guy, even though you've done so much. So we're all attracted to that. Obviously, we're attracted to Paige's abilities as well. And I want to thank you guys for coming on the show today. I know it was kind of quick, and I'd like to, Uriah, you've promised me that you're going to come in and. Help me do the show at some point.
Especially now that Sun System's a sponsor.
Oh, Sun System Technologies,
I have a small partner in Sun Systems.
Derek and Murad are great
guys.
Got my Sun Systems hat. Do you know the guys over at Sun Systems?
I don't.
These guys are awesome.
You met Murad before. He'll probably be over at the house tonight. But actually, Murad and I, before he started that business, Sun Systems, he used to come to our block of houses with all our fighters, and we do these weekly meetings, getting each other all pumped up about thinking big and stuff. So I've been there with Murad, and he's been there with me since the very beginning. So a lot of people don't know that.
Ah, that's awesome, and we want to invite you, Paige, to coming back on the show. You are welcome anytime,
and you.
You're a breath of fresh air. We appreciate it. I also want to thank Ethan Conrad Properties. He owns like 300-plus commercial properties in this region. And you know what? If you're looking for office, retail, or industrial space, don't forget about Ethan Conrad. He is a sponsor, and we appreciate him. We need to keep him in the money. And also, when you're choosing an accounting firm, don't forget about my buddy Jason Cardinay. He's the tax man. He is probably the best tax guy in Sacramento. You guys are going to need some tax advice, or you probably already need a lot of tax advice.
Yep.
But Jason is the best tax guy in Sacramento, and he's a buddy of mine. Galena LLP is also a sponsor. And next week, we're going to have incoming mayor of the city of Sacramento, Mr. Daryl Steinberg, will be joining us again with the tax man. He'll be on the show. Mr. Jason Cardinay will be joining us, another all-star weekend here on Sports 1140 KHDK. I will have some closing thoughts in just a minute about the entrepreneurial impact that people like these guys are having, but also a little post-election prediction that I'm going to share with you guys. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live. Come back in just a minute. Knock, knock. I hear something at the door. Could it be somebody's here to have a big positive impact on my life? Hi, I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help you. There's a reason we don't talk politics on this show, right? There is a reason. It doesn't do anything, right? It doesn't help. Talking politics is fine. It's entertainment, but it doesn't make an impact on my life. I'm back here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. Takeaways from today's show, gentlemen.
What an incredible freaking show, man. I mean, the power of the people that were sitting right here. Speaking of which, I'm sitting where Paige Van Zandt was sitting.
Yeah, how's that
I
feel?
I actually feel prettier right now and a lot tougher.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I do. No, a really, really great show. And if there's anything I'd take away from this, it's take your gloves off and go to work, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, John L. had some great thoughts. Marcus, any closing thoughts or takeaways from today?
I'm just blown away by all the guests. I thought we had an all-star lineup today. John L. Sullivan, what a man. What a
class
legend.
Act.
Oh, my goodness, right? Roseville legend. Can't say enough about him.
Yeah. Yeah, I was pretty blown away, too. And we talked about impact today, and these guys are, this is a group of people who have made a real impact in their own arena, right? Obviously, Paige and Uriah. Paige in the female sport, UFC. Uriah is a California kid here in MMA here in Sacramento. But John L. Sullivan has done so much for our community and really added some economic growth, right? As entrepreneurs, you know, it's about jobs, right? It's about economic growth. You can make an impact for your teammates, creating entrepreneurial opportunities for people in your circle, like what John has done with Dave Rogers and some of his team. But you know what? We're going to be doing some entrepreneurial stuff at the Impact, the Global Impact event on November 14th. It's Monday. It's the day after tomorrow. And there's going to be some guys out there. Again, we talked about Jack Crawford as a voice of entrepreneurship, and he's really doing some incredible stuff. I mean, and I think we can have an impact in our little circle, but every once in a while you take just a little step outside your circle and you can have an impact beyond your family, right?
Yeah, they're going to have global entrepreneurs there too, I believe, right?
Oh, so yeah. It's gonna people from everywhere are coming in to this show, Global Impact event. I'm also going to be doing some stuff with some real estate at the Placer County Association of Realtors on Tuesday. I think Wednesday, I'm going out to Sac State. I'm judging the pitch contest, trying to have my own little impact.
Are you hanging or banging?
I'm trying to bang. You know, a Thursday, it's my granddaughter's birthday, so we're going to be out at Round Table Pizza having a little birthday party. And then I think Friday is back to the Golden One for the Kings game on Limitless. We're taking a light ride on Limitless Limo to with the family to go watch the Kings play somebody. And I'm not sure who they're playing, but it's my Riley's birthday continued, and we're going to have a little fun. But my post-election prediction, right? I talked about this before we got back on the air a little bit. The job of an entrepreneur, this is my prediction, the job of an entrepreneur will not change, right? Nothing changes for the man in the arena. The entrepreneur, he will still have to risk so much. He's still going to have to sacrifice. It will never be the critic that matters the most. It will never be the people that are standing on the sidelines talking about what they think ought to happen or what should have happened. Those backseat drivers will not be who matter most. It will be the man whose face is marred by the dust and the blood and the sweat. It will be because of him, not because of the man in the election.
Amen.
Love it.
So I look at this almost like as a buying opportunity, right? So, or maybe it's a working opportunity. While everybody else is so busy playing armchair quarterback about the way the election should have been, the way things might have been, maybe this is a time while the guys like us, the guys that are banging every day, can get ahead a little bit. Maybe this is an opportunity to launch ourselves forward a little bit while the other guys are distracted by all the drama on the national news. Why don't we get a little more focused on what we're supposed to be doing, and that's our job. Why don't we do our job, right? My dad used to tell me whenever I'd be crying about something, he'd say, dry up, right? So why don't we dry up and do our job? Why don't I dry up and do my job? And I think that's what it boils down to. It's those simple words. Do my job. And I think
You know, I think about DeMarcus Cousins, right? So he's been criticized by many about arguing calls and, you know, why he's arguing the call. Guys are running up and down the basketball court.
Scoring.
Ducking the ball. Why one guy is complaining, other people are taking advantage of that. And maybe that's what we should do. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to flip the switch. You know, I always called it controlled pissed offness, right? When I was coaching football or coaching baseball, it was about controlled pissed offness. Why do you figure out a way to channel that emotion, dry up, and do my job? You know, if I'm on the urge that I'm thinking, man, I am so upset, I'm going to punch my competitor in the face. Unless I'm Uriah or Paige, maybe I should check myself. Maybe I should flip that switch over to control pissed offness. Maybe I should dry up and do my job. And if I'm an entrepreneur and I feel that urge to whine or talk about politics on Facebook, maybe I should not embarrass myself. Maybe I should flip the switch. Controlled pissed offness should turn on. And maybe I should dry up and do my job. So as we head out, just a little toast to the veterans on Veterans Day weekend.
God bless you.
And every day, the guys that are underpaid, the brave men and women who protect us every day, the true men in the arena who do their job every day. Never above you. Never below you. Always by your side.